Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, it is Catalina Martone, Healthy Gut Girl here, and I'm coming to you live from deep inside your small intestine. I'm with you everywhere you go. You know it. Why? Because it's healthy in here, and this is where your immunity is strong and kicking, right? I hope so, because I'm in here. I want it to be safe and healthy. This is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. This is a podcast about stuff your doctor should know. You know, I choose my guests based on how alternative they are. I like when guests go after alternative information. They're always staying cutting edge. They're always keeping themselves abreast of all the new info that's coming out. That's super important to me because information changes so frequently. And I'm kind of excited because this next guest that I have, his team sort of sought us out. He came to Stuff Your Doctor Should Know, and they wanted to check out what we were doing over here, and like minds do well together. And he's so fascinating. He's a very interesting guy. But we do talk about, yet again, hormones in this particular episode. And I think I'm becoming kind of like the hormone person these days. Everyone's associating me with hormone health because of my estrogen dominance support group that's growing really rapidly on Facebook. And one of the products that I always encourage many women to check out, and even men, actually, a handful of men have used it, is Ona's Naturals. Ona's is a progesterone cream, an all-natural progesterone cream that's quite pure. It has a lot of great ingredients in it. She's got the best customer service. She has various types of strengths of the product depending on what you need. And what's good for you. And she's wonderful. The shipping is fantastic. I can't say enough good things about her product. Progesterone is not a one, you know, magic bullet. I don't recommend it to cure all your hormone issues and health imbalances for sure. And like Dr. Gustin, our guest that we're about to listen to, he says so eloquently, you know, it's never a one-size-fits-all. And that's the case with something like progesterone. But I thought of Ona because she actually created her product because it's so beneficial for balancing hormones, combating estrogen dominance. But one thing that a lot of people don't know that it's great for is actually helping reduce the amount of seizures that people with epilepsy have, and any kind of seizure disorder, really. It's been extremely helpful in a lot of people who have different types of seizure disorders. So look into that. If that's something that you don't know about, kind of do some research and check out Ona's Naturals. You can go on to the show notes here, or you can look on my products page on healthygutgirl.com, and there's a link there that will take you to Ona's site. And you can also join the Facebook group and ask questions, because there's a lot of women who are dosing it for their children as well with epilepsy and different seizure disorders. So the reason that I chose that product to speak about, because it has a lot of relevance to what we're going to talk about with Dr. Gustin. First of all, he's pretty cool. He's a chiropractor, and he grew one location of sports medicine-based chiropractic clinic to 6 locations while being voted best chiropractor in the Bay Area in 2014 and 2015. He's a CrossFit coach. He's a strength coach. He's nutrition planning for hundreds of athletes. He's trained in functional medicine and orders labs and sets treatment plans for hundreds of patients. He's got a bit of a waiting list, so he's hard to get into to see privately right now, but keep trying. He's fantastic. You're going to love his work on the ketogenic diet. Enjoy. Hey, Anthony, welcome to Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. How's it going?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for joining us. This is very exciting for me. We've been looking for an expert in this field for some time now, and you're it.
Yep.
Awesome. I hope you're ready for me, because As you may, as I may have told you before, I have an estrogen dominant support group on Facebook, which is just a whole lot of women, about 4,500 women who I normally prep questions. You know, I do my research on the guest and I prep my own questions and stuff. But this time, what I've done is I've posted a question on the group and I said, who has questions for Dr. Gustin? So I've got a whole list of questions for you. I'm super excited about it. But first, I want to know, tell me a little bit about your passion with what you do.
Yeah, so what I do is kind of a complicated answer currently. I'm trained as a chiropractor. That's not exactly how I am operating my day-to-day anymore. So I graduated about 4 years ago. I had a sports medicine practice in San Francisco. I was noticing that a lot of the problems that people were having with mechanical pain actually came from nutrition. So from that, I kind of spiraled into a little bit more of functional medicine. Started working with people with that, I realized that there was a huge need for products that they could have to just have real whole food supplements. And mm-hmm. so I started this line of whole food supplements. That's kind of spiraled into a lot of other things. Now my goal is just to increase the awareness about how people can choose their own goal-based nutrition and their plan and how to figure out kind of an individualized approach to their nutrition instead of just guessing or assuming that there's a one-size-fits-all kind of plan, which I think is completely backwards.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of my passion now is increasing the awareness that you should be looking at what your goal is, then working backwards and figuring out within that goal what you should be doing for a nutrition approach that kind of fits into that goal.
I like that. You know, I think you know this as well. My husband is a chiropractor and he's also an athlete. He's a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And he noticed very early on in his career as well that a lot of what was keeping people in pain and keeping people with chronic issues had more to do with actually nutrition than the subluxation itself. And once he started to incorporate this philosophy of addressing the nutritional deficiencies, it was amazing how things changed. So he's on the ketogenic diet now, which has helped him and his back issues. So I can't wait can't wait to talk more about that.
So how does he practice currently now? Is he kind of split time between traditional chiropractic work and nutrition?
He has always been kind of a very, I like to say, alternative chiropractor. He's not your straight chiropractor. He doesn't just, crack you up and send you on your way. He's always had this technique that he likes to call unwinding or active passive technique where, there's quite a bit of body work involved in it. And then he was doing some nutrition when I met him. And then I started doing nutrition when we got together. So I handle the nutritional aspect of things and he'll guide people to say, hey, you really should look into some mineral balancing and gut health. And then when they really want to get into it, they'll come to me. So I handle that part of it.
That's excellent. It's nice to see so many different chiropractors doing so many different things.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people have this misconception where chiropractor means adjustment and that's it.
Yeah.
And especially now it's becoming a case where, there's so many different specializations that people can go into. It's great.
Absolutely. I think, that's what I love about chiropractic in general is that most schools teach that there is this like global, you're not isolating just the spine, they all have a really great philosophy about healing the body as a whole. And I love that. So I love chiropractors. So let's get to it. So tell me why the ketogenic. First of all, let's explain to listeners who are new. Most of my listeners know what it is, but let's explain to someone who just happened to stumble upon us today. What is the ketogenic diet?
Yeah, kind of a very simple fashion. Your body as it runs on energy is using primarily one of two things, either breakdown from carbohydrate into glucose or breakdown of fat into ketones. And so when you're primarily using fat as an energy source, that is in ketosis.
Okay.
It's a very, very simple way to put it. So either you're burning carbohydrates for energy or you're burning fat for energy.
Okay. And that's just two ways that the body is able to utilize its fuel, right? That's two ways the body burns fuel. And that's
correct.
Okay.
That's a very oversimplified version of it.
Right.
It's kind of a mix between those at all times, but mm-hmm. it's a primary either one or the other usually.
Okay.
And so Yeah, and both the carbohydrates and the fat can be coming from either internal stores or obviously through the diet itself.
Okay, so things we've stored up in our body to save, like fat. Now, first of all, I was first introduced to the ketogenic diet because we were working with children who had different forms, different disorders, like everything from autism to spinal cord injuries to epilepsy. And a lot of the children who had seizures of any kind were using the ketogenic diet. And it was extreme. It was difficult. So why has this made its way, because it's been around for so long, why has it made its way into a sort of like fad diet now? It's very, very popular now.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see it kind of come up as a fad. Especially because, like you said, the first popularized version of it was to treat epilepsy in children, like you said. Mm-hmm. And so now it's becoming out and breaking through. We've had a lot of, history of kind of this low-fat, high-carb shoved down our throats for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And now people are starting to realize that you don't have to be eating so many carbs all the time, and fat is not necessarily causing heart disease and all these things. Mm-hmm. So that people are more apt to try it out. And that they're finding all these benefits on it as far as an energy source and using it. I don't think that it is for every single person. And like I said earlier, I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all nutrition mm-hmm. platform. I think if it fits your goals, it's good for several different things, which I'm sure we'll get into, mm-hmm. That it can be very effective for those things. Mm-hmm. I think the demonizing of fat, and now that the trend is coming back on that and kind of receding and people are more accepting of fat, I think is allowing it to flourish a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I also think one of the biggest things is that like something like paleo or some of these more fad diets recently, they're great, but they're a little dogmatic in the sense that there's not like a right or wrong answer for people. Mm-hmm. So you have all these arguments about, oh, well, this mayo is paleo or not, mm-hmm. or this condiment is, whereas the state of ketosis, for better or worse, you can track it and actually see that, oh, this is a metabolic state that I'm in. And so you get a little bit more of a quantifiable data mm-hmm. than, oh, am I not like 75% paleo?
Right.
Which obviously I think people should be tracking more health markers than just the ketone levels. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's another big thing that people are liking about it is that they can actually see data immediately and how it changes from what they're eating.
Mm-hmm. And what does the typical ketogenic diet consist of? A healthy ketogenic diet for the average person.
Right. So the catch there is the healthy ketogenic diet. And so I have been kind of paleo-ish, whole food-ish for a long period of time. And I think I had been kind of pushing ketogenic diets away for a while just because I saw what the majority of people were consuming. Not that I was against fat, but the majority of the ketogenic diet was more so in the approach of what an Atkins type of diet was before, mm-hmm. which is just very, very low carbohydrate, very, very high fat. And people, even now with ketogenic stuff, you look up like any ketogenic recipes, and it's like a cheese stick wrapped in more cheese, like fried in bacon. It's just very, very low quality food.
Right.
And so I think what a healthy ketogenic diet looks like is something like a paleo whole food diet that's slanted more towards a macronutrient intake mm-hmm. of a true ketogenic diet, which is about 80-85% fat. About 10-15% protein, and then rest in carbohydrate. And that varies, I think, significantly per person, but that's generally what you would notice.
I like the sound of that because, I do see that a lot. You see it on Instagram, you see it with trainers and, CrossFit gyms and other places that are doing diets that are high in fat and protein. I saw one thing on Instagram today, actually. It was someone posted, hashtag ketogenic, hashtag ketosis, hashtag, and it was a picture of Cool Whip Jell-O cream. So I don't know. So I didn't even investigate. I just had to laugh because I thought, well, there's a difference there. There's a huge difference between, like I said, healthy ketogenic and just saying, okay, I'm going to, wrap this hot dog in a piece of ham and call it a day. So, right. And then dip it in some Cool Whip. Okay. So your focus is on when you work with someone and they do go on this diet is to make sure they're having high quality fats and proteins. And then you mentioned the carbohydrate percentage, like is there, if any carbohydrates are being consumed, what are the healthier forms of carbohydrates that you would recommend? Like slow burning, long chain sugar type things like sweet potatoes or what?
Yeah, I think it definitely depends on the individual, mm-hmm. but definitely real food sources.
Yeah.
And so this is a thing too, where people say, oh, well, I have, and this is a big marriage between the, if it fits your macro crowd, which to people out there who aren't familiar, it's basically you have a set of macronutrients, protein, carbs, or fat. And then if anything fits under that, that is good to go for food. And I think that this is a silly way to approach nutrition. And so they would say, like, oh, if it's carbs are carbs, mm-hmm. which is just not true at all. And so, yeah, I like to get as much of the carbohydrate recommendations in plant cell walls. Mm-hmm. Have the body to have to work for it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, obviously, you know, as being the gut expert you are, but the longer it can transit into the gut and get more towards the large intestine and colon, the more it will the fiber will be food for the gut bacteria that we need. Instead of digesting in the kind of the small intestine and early on, mm-hmm. which okay. I'm sure your audience is.
Yes, familiar with prebiotics stuff. And happy home in there for your bacteria. Absolutely.
Just as another point on that too, another way people can test, and this varies wildly per individual, but just getting a glucose meter and testing after certain foods in the ratio, in the amount that the blood sugar would increase is more of a personal tolerance as far as how you can handle certain carbs.
Okay. Okay, cool. That's good to know. I'll have to take these notes down too, because that's, I have a glucose meter. I'd be very interested to see, because, you know, not like you said, it's not a one diet fits all. And that's one thing that comes up constantly in my group and with clients is, you know, when I posted this question, I said, I'm interviewing a doctor who specializes in ketogenic diet today for our podcast, Dr. Gustin. Any specific question anyone wants to ask? And it's so crazy how varied people, we'll get into some of those questions, but how some people are like, oh, I do so well on it. And other people are like, well, when I did it, I gained 15 pounds and I haven't been able to, you know, so it's so interesting the different takes on, what each individual person needs in their life to be healthy. So let's start with some of these questions. So the big one would be, how does the ketogenic diet affect hormones, affect hormone balance?
I think that there's a large misconception out there currently that the ketogenic diet, especially in women, younger women, mm-hmm. is not great for their hormones. I think there's a lot of different factors at play here that aren't being discussed. One of them is the quality of the fat that most people are getting on a ketogenic diet. Mm-hmm. So if that is a very low quality, most of the hormones are made from cholesterol and saturated fat. And so if you're getting very poor sources of fat, you know, garbage in, garbage out, as the saying goes. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be creating a lot of poor cell walls, which, you know, all cells are made out of fat as well. So that is one aspect. Another aspect is that, and this is a huge problem for me too, I have to track daily right now, but it's very hard to eat enough calories on a ketogenic diet because fat is so filling. Mm-hmm. So there'll be days where I'll look and I'm at like a very low amount of calories right now because I'm not working out as much, and it's about 2,500, 2,700 calories per day. Mm. And there'll be days, well, like yesterday, it was 6 p.m. and I was at like 1,500 calories.
Wow.
And just like I wasn't hungry anymore. I didn't want to eat anymore.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have ways to get around that now. I have little shakes and stuff that I have, but a chronic hypocaloric state, so not getting enough calories, mm-hmm. can actually be a huge burden on the thyroid and kind of start messing with hormones in that way. And I think that a lot of times, especially with women who have not had a ketogenic high fat diet before, they start eating too low of calories, and that leads to the whole cascade of problems as well.
That's fascinating. Yeah, that's the first thing I noticed with my husband over the last 3 months was how much weight he's lost. Oh my goodness, it's unbelievable, which is good because he's going to be competing in the Pan Ams this weekend and he needed to kind of make weight, but it's crazy how quickly it sheds off. It's unbelievable. So that actually, the whole thing with the thyroid and stressing the thyroid brings me to adrenal function. So, you know, I've read a lot and researched a lot and, a lot of questions here in the thread asking about, the lack of carbohydrates and how it affects adrenal function and how it can be quite hard on adrenals when you don't have enough carbohydrate load in the body to support healthy adrenal function. What say you about that?
I'd say on that, I would question if the people who are having problems are testing rigorously two things, their blood sugar and their ketone levels. So another problem that I've seen with ketogenic diets is that people are just not testing and making sure that they're actually in ketosis. So a lot of people say, oh, I tried keto. It doesn't work for me. Mm. I say, well, were you testing your amount or measuring your carbohydrate intake? Oh, no, I was eating very low carb and it wasn't working for me.
Right.
And like I had all this stuff go on, wrong and it was terrible. When you look at it, they're low carb, but their body's still asking for carbs as energy and they're not completely switched into a ketogenic diet. Mm. And so that's when you're going to have a lot of problems too, because your body's asking for a fuel source that it's not getting. And so the vast majority of people that I've worked with that have had these type of problems, especially adrenal problems, mm-hmm. they weren't actually in ketosis to begin with. And I actually, when I started doing this a year and a half ago, it was the same problem with me. Actually, I was eating, but my problem was I was eating too much protein and I wasn't tracking with a blood meter. Okay. So I was using the sticks. We can go in testing methods as well, but unless you're using an actual blood meter to see the amount of ketones, mm-hmm. and then tracking to make sure that that's a consistent level, as well as a ratio between your glucose and your ketone levels are kind of in a certain range, I would say that the likelihood of adrenal problems is very, very low.
Right. And then going back just a hair to the quality of foods, in regards to fat, do you try to avoid refined oils because of that? Because, you know, from my education and what I try to teach, especially when women have hormone imbalance and men, and they have a congested liver and they're having issues, I always recommend that they reduce, if not completely take out, refined and extracted oils altogether and stick to things like ghee, some coconut oil, but lots of avocado and lots of fish source fats and food fats, and try to avoid the refined oils. What do you think about that?
I would agree 1000% with you, yeah. Okay. And I think even with a lot of stuff, even with some of the whole food sources, mm-hmm. I think that it can get kind of carried out of hand pretty easily. So I'm not a big fan of chicken or pork in large amounts when you're on a ketogenic diet, because so much of your fat is coming from that. And it's just very, very difficult and very expensive to get truly pastured chickens. Mm-hmm. And they're like $40, $50. And for what you get out of it is just a very low value ratio. And if you were to graph all foods on a nutrient density scale, it would just be very low. Mm-hmm. As well as pork, it's very, very difficult to get a properly raised pig that has a very high level of, or a very good representation of kind of an omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. And that's the same thing too. When people start really pounding nuts and nut butters and all these oils and even coconut oil, which is great, but you know, in coconut milks, to a certain point, you're just going to get a lot of these omega-6s. And this is why when fat is 85% of your diet, you really need to make sure that it's of high quality.
Right. I mean, and then that's not even, you're talking about just acquiring it from the source. And then once you have it, how are you cooking it? Are you damaging it in the process? Are you overcooking your bacon? Are you overcooking? Are you boiling your chicken to the point that its nutrients are basically damaged? You know, it's a science. It's a science. And it really needs to be paid close attention to. It's like when someone decides to go vegan or vegetarian, if they want to be a healthy vegan, it's important for you to educate yourself on the science behind how the body utilizes plant-based energy without using animal proteins and whatnot. And the same goes for this diet. I think it's very important to take a good couple of days, if you have to, several hours, and really investigate and educate yourself on the science on how ketosis works, why it works, which brings me to this question. Long-term ketogenic diet. Would you recommend it? Like I was told to do it in phases, like to definitely not do it. You know, like it's not a lifestyle. It's not a long-term diet. What do you think?
I think that's a very individual thing. So I think you should track certain biomarkers for a long period of time. And as you see those snapshots progress, I think you should make kind of changes as that goes. I like to think of it kind of as humans have evolved in the past. This probably was more of a cyclical thing as well. Obviously, you know, people have different genetics and have a different way of processing food. Mm-hmm. But some people, I think it can be really, really tough to stick to it for a very long period of time. I mean, there's plenty of people who have been doing it for a very long period of time who have very great health. Mm-hmm. But for some people, it's just not sustainable from like a social aspect.
Right.
From just an accessibility point, there's not a lot of good food products or food options out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's completely fine. Like, this is where people get wrapped up into the whole idea of all or nothing. Whereas if they find something that works for them, like right now, the ketogenic diet is working very well for me. But if I were to go eat a potato tonight, I'd feel completely fine about it and just go back to my day as I normally would. Mm-hmm. Or even if I had a donut for whatever reason. Yeah, it's like that's not a summary of my overall picture of health, right? And so I think that as long as your diet is helping you reach your goals, and there's different ways to quantify that, obviously, mm-hmm. then I think that that's how you should gauge what your nutrition is, rather than just saying, oh, this should or should not be done long-term for anybody, right? And so I think it should be very individualized in that.
I really love that answer. I like you. So,
because I'm a Cairo, is all.
Yeah, you can do no wrong in my eyes. Okay. So no, that makes perfect sense. And that's how I like to approach just about everything. You know, every time somebody asks me, you know, should I not be taking this supplement now? You know, I was told something or other, I should stop after this line. It's like, well, it just depends on what's going on with how you're feeling and what's, you know.
Yeah. It's people get very, very frustrated with me either online or people that I work with one-on-one because the it depends answer is 95% of my answers.
Yeah, that's good though. I think that's a gauge of what life is like. You know, nothing is black and white, really. Okay, let's see. How do you keep from being so acidic with the ketogenic diet? I'm going to tie this in with another question, which is in regards to having so much protein. You know, and someone who might have kidney deficiency or I mean, I personally would never put someone on a diet like this if they had, you know, kidney disease. But just in terms of like, you know, if it's a protein heavy diet and that can be taxing on the kidneys. So what do you think about that?
I actually, when I started doing very strict ketogenic diet like 6 months ago, mm-hmm. my protein intake was cut in about half.
Mm.
So for me, and I think probably a lot of males out there, I know this isn't a lot of your audience, but I think people are eating too much protein, actually. Mm-hmm. And I find that the human body doesn't need that much protein. I had this belief for a very long time. You know, I came from an athletic background. Weightlifting, muscle mass is great, all this stuff. It just wasn't true. I've been testing body composition and decreasing my protein intake and working out more or less, and it just doesn't affect it. Mm. And so I think from a lot of different standpoints that people are eating too much protein. And I think that for most people, it shouldn't be a super heavy protein diet. And this is also where the confusion with an Atkins style diet comes in, which people were, it was low carb, high, whatever else. And so people gravitated to high fat, high protein.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having it be moderate to low protein is actually a better way to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually wouldn't recommend having it be a high protein diet.
Which would explain the caloric loss of calories that you mm-hmm. experience. So you said you're not a big chicken and pork person, maybe once in a while, but what do you eat a lot of when it comes to your diet? What does a day look like for you?
I'm in the Bay Area, so it's easy to get high quality fish. So mm-hmm. I eat a lot of fish. I also have a good relationship with some of the ranches north of here. So I'll buy either a half or a quarter of a grass-fed cow from this place called Stemple Creek Ranch. I also just got from them a whole lamb.
You must have a freezer in your garage.
I have a big one here, and then I keep some in a friend's place. So I try to get as much of my stuff from the actual ranch as possible.
Nice.
So I know where it's coming from. And also because it drastically reduces the price. Because getting stuff that high quality at, say, like a Whole Foods or a local food store,
is
outrageous.
It is. Whereas if you're really even getting something that is as high quality as they're claiming.
Right. And so it's to be able to like go to the farm, see how they're raising the animals, see the conditions, and then be able to get it for, you know, $3.50 a pound is what I got the most recent half of beef at. Mm-hmm. And that includes all cuts. I mean, it's just
that's great. That's the Stemple Creek Ranch, you said?
Stemple Creek Ranch.
Stemple Creek, yeah. Okay. So here's an interesting question about men versus women and the ketogenic diet. Do you feel like women require more? And I know this is probably each individual person going back to that answer again, but just because it's a cool question, is the ketogenic more effective and helpful for men? Do women do better with a higher ratio of carbs? Have you noticed?
Certainly it depends on this one as well. I think the more lean tissue you have and the more active you are, the mm-hmm. more you'll tolerate carbohydrates is kind of how I've seen it with the population that I've worked with anyway. And so generally males are going to fit in that category more as far as more representative lean mass to their body weight. Mm-hmm. And so I think they traditionally operate a little bit better on a ketogenic diet that has carbs sprinkled in here or there. That being said, I think women can do better on more of a cyclical ketogenic diet, which, like you were saying before, is like not just, for instance, a long-term thing, but either once a week or a couple times a month, having mm-hmm. kind of a day or two where they eat carbohydrates, kind of cycle that back and forth.
I like that.
So I think that men can handle maybe a little bit more carbohydrate in their day-to-day ketogenic diet, whereas I think women can cycle it more so and keep it more high fat mm-hmm. and then sprinkle in these days where they can almost reset their metabolism.
Right. I like some of these questions about individual imbalances and diseases and things like inflammation and autoimmune conditions. And people are kind of wondering, do you feel like ketogenic is specifically beneficial in regards to maybe like a handful of imbalances, like say anything autoimmune, or like we can say for sure it's so good for children with epilepsy or anyone that has seizure disorder, it's excellent. Would you say, oh, and it's really good for RA or anything? Is there any other imbalances that pop in your mind that you think it's great for?
I would say anything neurological and anything metabolic in nature. And so that would mean, I would consider cancer a metabolic problem, mm-hmm. as well as blood sugar control, diabetes, things like that. Mm-hmm. I would say for most people, it depends where they're starting. And so if somebody's already at a kind of paleo-ish whole foods diet, we have some room to work with, but mm-hmm. I would not suggest somebody coming from a standard American diet who has all these different things, autoimmunity, all these different problems, and going straight into a kind of paleo-ish whole food ketogenic diet. I think it's too strict. Mm-hmm. The compliance rate is just terrible on that.
Yeah.
And so it just depends on where people are starting. So if somebody is, you know, kind of a, I would say standard American diet, just getting them on a whole foods diet and seeing how they go from there and kind of incorporating some things like fermented foods, different kinds of fiber, and more of a nutrient dense support. I think that's the best way to start for the majority of things, see what happens and then refine from there. Okay. But I think for sure, if it's a metabolic or neurological problem, this mm-hmm. is a very simplified blanket statement. So please talk to your doctor if you have any of these problems.
Yeah.
I think that a ketogenic diet would be great for those kind of right off the bat if the person is willing to adhere to it long term.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything you think besides people who are coming off the standard American diet with a bunch of imbalances or illnesses, is there any specific disease? Like I was saying, you know, with kidney deficiency, I would be careful, but now you've kind of given me some more insight as to why that could be the case. But is there anything where you'd be like, yeah, keto would definitely not be good for that, someone with that?
I would say people who have troubles with managing weight in the past.
Okay. Because that is the next question, which is there's like 3 or 4 people in this thread who say, I've been in ketosis for the last month. I'm actually on the phase 1 Doug Kaufman diet. I've lost 2 inches from my hips, belly went down, face got thinner. How come the scale isn't moving at all? I'm 51, no health problems. She's on 400 milligrams of progesterone. They say not to look at the scale, but there has to be a reason it's not moving. Thanks, Felice, by the way, for that great question.
Felice, I would recommend, if you're not doing it already, getting a DEXA scan and looking at a composition of body mass. So if the scale's not moving, you may well be increasing lean tissue mass and losing body fat. And so you're going to have a net zero effect on the scale. You could be just having a redistribution of body mass. So the way I do it is I do a DEXA scans for myself to kind of track the same exact thing. Because mm-hmm. for me, 175, 180 can look very, very different depending on my body composition.
Hmm. And what do you say to someone who maybe wants to try ketogenic, but they're not very active? So they don't work out at all. And they should, we know that. So yeah. What do you say about that? Do you think it's a good diet for someone to even attempt if they're not very active?
Yeah, I think it's actually better for people who aren't active. Mm-hmm. to be eating less carbs and carbohydrates in general. As we talked about before, there's different, your body can get carbohydrates or fat from either your diet or internal stores. And so what happens is with the carbohydrates, you either eat it or it's stored in the form of glycogen, either in your liver or your muscle tissues. Mm-hmm. And so if you're never using that fuel, let's imagine you're driving around a car and your fuel was topped up with the glycogen stores, your carbohydrate stores in your body were already full, mm-hmm. and you're not active and you're not working out and you're not doing these things to use that fuel. That's like if your car was always parked in the driveway and you kept filling it up with gas. Mm. And so what happens is that spills over and then it actually leads to more fat accumulation.
Because the body will store that.
Right. So your stores are already maxed out. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think people, the more active they are, especially the more explosive work they do, mm-hmm. they'll be fine longer term on a higher carbohydrate diet compared to a ketogenic diet. But I think that it would actually be better for people who are less active to be on a ketogenic diet. And of course, we have to establish what the goal is first before we recommend any of that to somebody. But yeah, right. less active, I'd say ketogenic is actually better.
Right. And then when you do carbs, you said you prefer like the longer chain sugar type of carbohydrates that take longer to burn. Do you ever do simple carbs and not complex carbohydrates? Like fruits or, you know, like, I don't know, like mangoes or anything like that?
That type of stuff is usually pretty situational. So if I'm around, like if I'm traveling and like last year I was in Thailand and Vietnam, I was eating the local fruits and stuff and like no problem. Right. And so, but I don't think like winter in the US having mangoes makes much sense. Right. I don't think that's
kiwis in Minnesota. Yeah.
But more of the carbs when I do eat them look like sweet potatoes, look like plantains.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've been eating carbs. I have to think about that one.
Is it making you hungry? Maria, who's a great practitioner, she asked this, and you kind of touched on it already. Can long-term ketogenic diet cause insulin resistance as an adaptive response to less glucose in the body?
I would be doubtful of this. I've never seen it clinically. Mm-hmm. What may be happening is, let's say somebody is very, very ketogenic, and then if they ate a whole plate of white rice or something like this, mm-hmm. they're probably going to have trouble clearing that glucose out because your body needs to switch. It's not just this on and off thing where it goes, oh, I'm going to use only fat for fuel or primarily fat, and then, oh, okay, now here's all this carbohydrate. Just like a lot of people claim it takes days to get into the metabolism of using fat for energy, mm-hmm. same thing the other way.
Okay.
And so I think that maybe in the short term, that's a possibility just mm-hmm. because your body gets so fat adapted for using it as fuel that if you just started throwing all these carbohydrates at it, it wouldn't be the best thing for an insulin response. But I wouldn't say like it would be a permanent metabolic damage. I don't know why that would. Okay.
And I know that it's different probably for everyone, but when someone starts the ketogenic diet, about how long before they start to notice that they do get into ketosis?
Yeah, so that depends for everybody. So this last time that when I was out of ketosis and was eating more carbs and then was going back in, since I had been doing a lot of kind of low-carb ketogenic stuff in the past, it took me about a day and a half. Mm-hmm. But I've seen people where sometimes their metabolic history takes a week, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so there's sometimes where I recommend either ketone supplements or fasting or both of those things in conjunction to help speed up the process. The person doesn't want to kind of go through this middle ground phase mm-hmm. of switching energy source or energy sources from carbohydrate to fat. It can be a very uncomfortable thing to do, especially if it takes a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Very low energy. Some people refute that there's this thing called a low carb flu. I think there's a lot of ways to mitigate that. But I think for some people, when they have a lot of metabolic damage or a lot of history of this type of stuff, it's much easier to get in it with certain protocols and techniques.
So that's you bring up a good thing there. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Body Ecology Diet and my own Total Gut Makeover Diet, which is like the Body Ecology on training wheels. And it's a great one for people to do who haven't ever, you know, like you were saying, you were on the standard American diet, to then try something like my Total Gut Makeover, because it's not this like, you know, overwhelming smack in the face and people don't burn out really fast. But you do have these die-off effects. Like there's just no way around it. Once people stop eating the garbage, you know, there's this process of elimination and detox that they go through. And it's, as usual, different for everyone. But what are some of those besides the carb flu or whatever you just called it? What other symptoms do people see when they go through this first few weeks of the ketogenic?
I would say it depends how people are transitioning to it. And so there's a few different ways that people can do it. They can either just start slowly reducing the amount of carbohydrates and increasing the amount of fat. That I've seen a very low energy with other people. So as you kind of go through this transition in this middle ground where your body's not really sure if it should be using fat or carbohydrates, it's kind of sapped both ways. It's always kind of switching back and forth, mm-hmm. which is not good. The other thing that happens is more of a symptom of lack of food if they're eating too low of calorie. And so that would be more so like headaches and maybe they're not getting enough salt. And so low electrolytes. Mm-hmm. So people can have like cramping and symptoms like that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that stuff can be mitigated by just doing a very strict protocol in the beginning and making sure that the amount of food is in high quality and of the right amount. Mm-hmm. I think that many of these symptoms can be avoided entirely.
So say someone has pretty severe like, candida or any kind of fungal issues and they stop eating these sugars, there could also be a phase of die-off. By the time, you know, my husband and I started to do the ketogenic, we were already, you know, we had already done body ecology and other diets like this, so we didn't have that problem. But there must be, for some people, there can be a massive Herxheimer reaction from, you know, starving out the candida. Do you see that frequently?
I do not see that frequently because, like I was saying, a lot of times when people have a lot of these pre-existing problems, I try to get them on a whole foods-based diet mm-hmm. and treat that stuff before we make any major adjustments to a strict ketogenic diet.
Yeah.
And so I'm not taking a lot of people from this very far end of
imbalance,
overgrowth and all this imbalance stuff.
Yeah.
Straight to a strict ketogenic diet. And I wouldn't necessarily recommend that for people either.
Right. That's good, good, good advice there. So what do you have a protocol? Like if people want to seek you out and get your help, but maybe they're long distance, we have members in the group and people from all over. Do you see people via Skype and things like that?
I have a little bit of a waiting list currently since I'm doing so many projects. Ah. But yes, the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. And then also, as much questions as people are trying, I'm trying to figure out where people are at currently. Mm-hmm. I have a very specific population that typically comes to me. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see kind of a general population as well, or different audiences like you have. Mm-hmm. What kind of questions come up frequently so I can address those either on my website or through whatever other medium. Mm-hmm. So that way I can make this as accessible as possible. That's kind of my whole goal, mm-hmm. is that people have the tools and can educate themselves easily beforehand, because I don't think there's a really good consolidated spot right now where people can get all the information about a high quality diet mixed with a ketogenic diet. I think it's kind of either one or the other currently. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a lot of things that people need to be doing in a ketogenic diet that they're not. And I think that is the most important part.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I can't tell you how frequently I see people on the paleo or caveman or whatever you want to call it. They come in and the quality of what they're eating is just atrocious. And it just doesn't make any sense because they're foregoing their health for, you know, trying to be paleo or whatever it is, or ketogenic or whatever. So what about your products? Tell me about your products that you have.
So I have a lot of different things going on right now. One of the companies is just for people who are in kind of the paleo whole food scene. I wanted to provide them with kind of whole food supplement products. And mm-hmm. so I have a beef protein powder, a sweet potato carbohydrate supplement, a greens powder, and then a pre-workout for people who kind of want that all natural pre-workout. Mm. And this type of stuff was just as I realized and I was trying to recommend stuff to people how really ridiculous the supplement industry is. Mm-hmm. I had no choice but to just do these products myself.
Nice.
And so it's been a struggle to people to do that. What I want to do with that, and as well as I have a ketogenic supplements company as well, mm-hmm. is not necessarily to just make these supplement products, but what I want to do is open the conversation to people who would normally not know why it's good to have whole food nutrition. Mm. And so the whole point of this is to provide products that are kind of like gap solutions for people, and then educate them about the importance of using real food in their diet and getting high quality of food. Mm-hmm. And so we have that. And then also a ketogenic supplement. And so what we have with that is what's called ketone salts. And so when the fat breaks down, it goes into what's called a ketone body. And so one of them is beta hydroxybutyrate that your body uses for energy to produce ATP. Mm-hmm. And so for people, for instance, if you're transitioning from carbohydrates to a ketogenic diet, eating high fat, your body's not necessarily going to create a lot of this beta hydroxybutyrate or ketone body. And so if you take it supplementally in between meals, if you're on a carbohydrate diet, or after you eat carbohydrates trying to get to a ketogenic diet, it will tell your body, oh, hey, here's a step that you can use for energy. And then the transition to ketosis is much easier that way.
Huh. And that's a capsule, or you said salt. So is it?
So salt's because, so for all my biochemistry nerds out there, salt does not mean like table salt.
Right.
They're different compounds. So we have them to make the beta hydroxybutyrate stable. You need to attach it to something else. So with sodium, potassium, chloride, calcium, magnesium, things like that, those are salts. Mm-hmm. And so for this is just a powder that you can mix in to any kind of beverage. Yeah.
Nice.
And then so your body gets a huge whack of beta hydroxybutyrate, which then you can just use as energy. And then your body goes, oh, we should be using this type of stuff. And then it more so demands that instead of asking for carbohydrates for fuel, it asks for then the breakdown of fats for fuel.
Okay. Do you take any kind of hydrochloric acid or digestive enzymes with your meals?
I do not.
Do you have any particular reason why you don't do that, or is it just something you're not?
Yeah, I test my digestive system, and I do a lot of very comprehensive testing mm-hmm. on myself mm-hmm. once a year, sometimes twice a year. And I have not noticed a difference. Like, I have very good health overall from having to work through all this stuff the last 4 or 5, 6 years. Mm-hmm. And so I'm at a point right now where I've tested with and without for me, and I've noticed no difference.
Okay.
As far as tons of different biomarkers that I've tracked and different kind of markers of gut health, and I've noticed no difference. I think if people depends on where they're at, I do recommend that type of stuff, especially if people are eating a lot of low quality protein mm-hmm. or trying to gain muscle mass and trying to eat a lot of carbohydrates and protein. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I think that my food choice is good enough currently where I'm at that I haven't noticed a change with or without them.
Got it.
I like to limit as many of the things that I'm taking that aren't food as possible.
Yeah, amen to that.
Yeah, if I don't notice a positive change, I'm not going to incorporate it just for that reason.
Nice. And then I'm just curious before we kind of wrap it up, and I want to know a little bit about your like supplement regimen right now. Like, what else do you take besides your own products? Do you do any isolated minerals or isolated nutrients or anything like that?
Yeah, magnesium.
What kind of magnesium?
So I have this blend right now from, I know the owners of Pure Pharma, and I know what they've done with the representation of their magnesium. So that they have a blend of taurinate and glycinate.
Okay.
And I really enjoy their product. I've noticed a lot of results from them as far as quality of sleep, especially in recovery from workouts. Mm-hmm. So I really like that product. I also take CoQ10 turmeric, kind of off and on randomly. What else? Collagen. So I'm launching a new collagen product soon. So I take that mixed with the beef protein I have as if I want to get some more protein, or like I had a shake this morning that was spinach, kale, chard, walnuts, some coconut milk, a whole avocado, blueberries, and then collagen in the protein powder.
Nice.
So yeah, that's about it. I don't really take too many supplements.
It's amazing. I think when you have really high quality food, I don't think it's necessary. I really believe that.
Yeah, I have this blend. It's from US Wellness Meats, I think it is. This blend of heart, liver, kidney, all these different beef, grass-fed beef organs.
Ooh.
And it tastes pretty gnarly. It's not great. Like I like liver and all the stuff, but the way they've blended it is, I think it's a kidney in there, but it's not a tasty treat. But this is, I would consider that a supplement because it's not a food that I enjoy.
How do you take it?
I just eat it. I slice it off. So it comes in like a tube. Wow. And so I just slice a chunk of that and have that. I mean, I notice a huge, so that's my multivitamin.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a huge increase in energy in the days I have that versus do not have that.
Wow. Yeah, I do the frozen liver. I go through phases where I just cut, but that sounds fantastic. Who makes that again?
It's U.S. Wellness Meats.
U.S. Wellness Meats. Now, I want to remind you, you wanted to talk briefly about the testing methods.
Oh, yeah. If you're not testing something, you're essentially just guessing at what the outcomes are. And because this is such a definitive metabolic state, you can easily tell if you are in or out of ketosis, if your body's using the fat breakdown or using carbohydrates. Mm. So there's three primary testing methods. One is through a urine strip, which is great if you're trying to figure out if you're just getting into ketosis. So the way that works is as your body starts either generating ketone bodies from the fat, from your own stored fat or from what you're eating in nutrition, they will not be used up 100%. So they'll be excreted through your urine. And so you'll be able to pee on a stick. This little dot will change a color, mm-hmm. right? But once your body becomes efficient at using ketones, you excrete less of them and you spill less of them into your urine. So then people track this and they say, oh, I'm not in ketosis anymore. But they're actually in a deeper state of ketosis. So they're not reliable over the long term.
Okay.
So they're good if you're just trying to check to see if you're getting into ketosis. And they're very cheap, which is nice. So that's one way.
Okay.
The second way, which is very new and I have not had great results with, is the breath meter. And so I'll save the nerdy discussion about how this works, but basically you just blow into this meter, it's plugged into a USB, and it shows you the amount of ketones in your breath.
Hmm.
It's a very early on technology, and so I don't think it's a very reliable one yet. It's good. I think it's going to be a good one eventually because you don't have to pay for strips over and over again like you do with the other methods. Mm-hmm. So the cost is in the value. You can use it however many times you want. It's very easy. There's no bodily fluids involved. Right? So you just breathe into it.
Right.
So I would not recommend that just because I don't think it's consistent yet. I've tracked it with the third method I'm about to talk about, which mm-hmm. I think is the best. And I just have not found a tight correlation with the amount that they show me on the screen versus the one that I'm actually measuring in my blood. The third one would be the gold standard, which is just like you would take a measurement of glucose. So you pick your finger mm-hmm. and then you just put a drop of blood on a strip and it reads how much of the beta hydroxybutyrate is flowing around in your blood. So that's how you definitively can tell how much your body's producing and how much it is using. The downside to this, the strips are very expensive. So they're about $4 to $6 a piece.
Oh, wow.
So imagine if you're checking a couple times a day, that adds up quick.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, what they can do is they can just check maybe once a day, either in the morning or in the afternoon, and kind of see a trend line. Or if they want to get kind of more into the weed and see if something is able to kick them out or keep them in ketosis, then they can just kind of have this baseline level of knowledge about what works for them. And so it doesn't have to be something that you continually do every single day.
Okay.
You get to the point where you go, oh, okay, I can only handle 15 grams of carbs per day and 85 grams of protein before I start decreasing my ketosis levels. Also, ketosis comes with things that you can notice as far as like a mental effect. A mouthfeel when I wake up sometimes, and I can tell like, oh, I'm going to be over like 1.5 millimolars of beta hydroxybutyrate in my blood. So you can start to notice these things of mental clarity and different symptoms like the mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd be able to just tell with how you feel if you're in or out of ketosis. But if you don't test with that meter, I think, and the Precision Extra is the one that is, I think, pretty much the only one out there. There's another one that the strips always inconsistent, so this is the only one that I would recommend is a Precision Extra one. We need to figure out a way to get the cost in these strips down because it's just ludicrous right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see somebody improve on that. So if you're listening and you have some business idea, please do that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the only way I think that you can definitively say this is or is not working for me. And so if you are doing high quality foods and you're getting, you know, you're treating the gut right with fiber and fermented foods and you're getting a good amount of plant diversity and you're above, I'd say like a 1.0 millimolar on the measurement consistently, and you're still having problems, well, then I'd say like, yeah, maybe it isn't for you. But until you test those things, I'd say inconclusive. Or you may not be in ketosis, or you may be going back and forth between carbohydrate metabolism and fat metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
So testing with that meter is, I think, critical.
And just, is there something bad about that going back and forth between fat metabolism and carb metabolism? I mean, clearly if someone's doing ketogenic because they have kind of an imbalance or they've got a weight problem or whatever, obviously it's not going to help them in those areas if they go back and forth. But just as a general state for biologically, is that a problem? Is it not healthy for the body to keep going back and forth?
It's a normal human response to be able to go back and forth.
Okay.
However, it comes with not reaching the goal you want to achieve, mm-hmm. number one. So the results are not going to be as great. Number two, a lot of times this is associated with the energy problems and okay. with potentially some of the hormone problems. It's kind of back and forth, kind of half in, half out energy yeah. supply to the body.
Got it. So is there anything that you would like to touch on before we wrap up? I feel like this is one of the most concise, precise, and really, really educational podcasts that we've had. It's so good. Can you think of anything else you want to talk about or hit on?
Just if you want to post to either the group or anybody who listens to this podcast, if they want to ask me any questions, like I said, I'm just trying to get as much information out there, what people are having problems with and mm-hmm. what they need clarification on mm-hmm. so I can help if I can to help kind of clear up all of that.
Well, I'd love it if you and your partner might want to actually join the Facebook group, because you can always go in there and, you know, and post something just when you have a few minutes. And trust me, you'll get a lot of people asking you lots of stuff. So that's a good resource for you. And everyone knows that's the Estrogen Dominance Support Group on Facebook. It's a closed group, so just, I'll send you the link and we'll add you. And then where can we reach you, and remind us what your products are called or how you want us to access those, because I'm sure lots of people want some of that good stuff.
Right. So all the stuff I write about as far as a ketogenic diet and the kind of wait list that for working at people one-on-one is just dranthonygustin.com. Then all my contact information is on there. And then same with as far as social media, I'm most active on Instagram. Same thing, Dr. Anthony Gustin. Mm-hmm. And then the ketone products are Perfect Keto. And then we can create a little code for you as well if anybody wants to try any of those products out. Mm. And so we need to put that in the show notes.
Absolutely.
And then the other one is Pure WOD, WOD, which is a CrossFit term, mm-hmm. but those are the whole food supplement products.
Okay, perfect. That all sounds good. We will have all this in the show notes. And this has been fantastic. I really appreciate it. If you think of any other topics that you're passionate about, you know, I would love to have you back, because I think you're so well-spoken and you're a chiropractor, so you're allowed in my book. So yeah, will you please do that?
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Doc.
Oh my gosh. I really liked him a lot. He's really cool. And so well-spoken, so specific, so science-oriented. I love that. I wish I had more of that. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I had more of the attention to detail. Well, I'm going to now. Now that I have that information, I'm going to make sure that Dr. Charlie and I are doing the ketogenic diet with specificity and accuracy so we get the results that we want. That's the big message, isn't it? It's like, everyone can give this a try, but you really have to know what you're doing. You really have to educate yourself on the facts and move forward with knowledge, armed with knowledge, as they say. You can reach him, check out the show notes for this particular show, and look at everything he was talking about and offering, and follow him on Instagram, and follow me on Instagram. Kitty Martone at Instagram, and I'm also at Healthy Gut Girl on Twitter, and the Estrogen Dominance Support Group on Facebook. I have my TotalGutMakeover.com. That is my 6-week program that helps upregulate digestion. And check out the show notes also for the Ona's Naturals Progesterone Cream link. And that should be everything you need. Thanks for joining us. Love you. Bye.